Basically, we're not making Barbados safe for tourists.
we're
making Barbados safe for
everybody.
All of us, right?
Yes.
Now, when you look at that data that you mentioned there, I had a look at it too. And look, this is the question that I often ask myself. And I set my team this question last year. Go and tell me who's most likely to be involved in a collision, right? Because you got to ask tough questions. I want to know who living in this region in England is likely to be involved in a collision. We've got so much data. We've got data coming out of our ears. So go and look at all of it and tell me who is likely to be involved in a collision. What is the demographic? Because that is what we need to know. And I was asking myself a similar question when I saw the data. And what jumped up to me in the Barbados context is there's male, over 50 years old, likely to be involved in a collision somewhere in St. Michael. Right? What does that mean? So for me, it means anybody who's taking a BARP card in Barbados, I want you to also recognize you're going to have to retrain in road safety and start to have a different understanding of what the road environment is going to mean to you as you get a little bit older, right? Because I'm seeing too many of you turning up in fatalities by way of drivers or pedestrians. So there's a bit of a retraining to do there, but we have to use the wide system available to us. And we have to ask our professionals, who are the people who are more likely to be involved in collisions in our roads, and start addressing them specifically.
I want to say something that will shock a lot of people now. In Barbados, we have a document called the Highway Code. There are a number of people in this country who have never seen that highway code. Therefore, a number of people in this country who don't even know that there are over 70 signs, international signs, between pages 17 and 22. And I've said many times for eons now, every single household should have at least one highway code in that household to be referred to from time to time by the occupants. Indeed, I will go further to say that every business, particularly the ones who deal with transport and transport issues, should have copies of that highway code to give to their drivers and operators. And all transport managers, foremen, operators, CEOs should be very versed in what is in the highway code. Additionally, what is in the Road Traffic Act and the regulations. I have had the good fortune of doing a lot of training for a lot of years with oil companies in this country, and I've gone overseas doing training as well. And the oil companies take their role absolutely seriously. In other words, because not only because of the products that they transport, but because they are bent on reducing collisions and reducing incidents. I know for a fact that when an incident happens in another jurisdiction, in terms of a collision, it is immediately transcended to all over the world, so it does not recur. And this is what, tying in with what Mark said and what Leon is saying as well, in terms of training and retraining. Anytime we get to stage where, as a driver or as a road user, we say that there's nothing else to learn, we are sadly mistaken. There are always things to learn, always reviews to be made, always different legislation and so on to come in. So we need to keep on the cutting edge on what we need to do as individuals, and then as families, and then as companies. We must be on the cutting edge.
Okay, we're heading towards the news. After we come back from the 12:30 news, I want to do somewhat of a question and answer segment.
Sure.
Because so many questions are still left unanswered. And I'll do that with the callers and with the WhatsApps as well. Now, in the few minutes we have, I'll throw in one more question, and this speaks to the crossings. A number of persons sent messages about the crossings, the paint, the possibility of adding grip to it for when it is wet. And so I just would like to get some kind of response or best practice where this is concerned. They're concerned that you paint and it fades out really quick. Like, it's probably water paint for the, the preschoolers where they got the credit coloring. But they say it fades out too quickly, and they would like some grip added to it, because when it's wet, sometimes it's slippery. What kind of response could you give to those persons querying those things?
Perhaps
I could give you mine.
Go ahead.
Certainly give you mine, because we have something called a skid resistance strategy, and if the materials that you're using in the road environment don't meet a certain coefficient, coefficient. Sorry, we won't be using it. You know, we use hot thermoplastics for road markings in the United Kingdom, and
generally speaking,
last is based on volume. You know, the M25 is going to wear out pretty quickly because you've got 180,000 vehicles going around London every day. You know, so meanwhile, the M40 or the M5, they might last longer because you've got less traffic. You know, the length is based on volume. How long it will last?
Yes, it would be good to have skid resistant paint. And I'd also like to recommend that all pedestrian crossings, there are beacons which operate in the day and at night. Flashing beacons, so that they're easily seen and very easily picked up by every single person. Beacons.
Actually, you're on the verge of going to the news, but there was a fatal accident on King Street where a pedestrian was struck by a vehicle. That road is so wide. And I was talking to a policeman quite recently who went to the scene. And he thought that the signs, the road, the mark, he likes that the size of the road was inadequate for that width road. And maybe they need to be an overhead sign pole showing that is a pedestrian crossing. So there's some new things that we have to look at. But unfortunately, you know, the engineers are not here and they wouldn't be an important role in this discussion.
Okay, it's time to go to the latest from the Starcom Network News. We're coming back to road safety in Barbados right after that. Welcome back to Brass Tacks Sunday for the 28th day of February 2021, where we're looking at road safety in Barbados. What can we all do to make the roads a safer place for everyone? We're joined by Mark Corbing over in the UK. He works in transport, traffic, and highways. We have Junior Jordan, experienced and trained and certified road instructor and trainer from 1978. And of course, we have Mr. Leon Blades, who's been working in the area of traffic through the Royal Barbados Police Force and afterwards with his interest in road safety in Barbados. So you are with us now, and we are going to go on more question and answer. I want to go to the telephones and to our chat to get some specific questions, to get some specific answers as well as we continue on this Brass Tacks Sunday. So let's say good afternoon and welcome to our next caller. You are on the air. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Rosalind. Good afternoon. Welcome.
There is two questions that I like to ask, and I hope that you all will understand. My first question is the gentleman that lives in England. I listened to his opening, how the house plants are 3 years, they're planting trees. I always consider England the most accessible place for the disabled. So my question to the gentleman in England, next you have plans for the trees and you plan all around England for trees. My question to you, I hope you understand. In the recent, we hear that there are more cars that is designed for the blind person to drive. And the right of removing towards electric vehicles. And my question is, if the electric cars for the blind to go is in the town for 3 years, and
Rosalind, sorry for interrupting. You're dropping in and out. The part with the cars and moving the cars, I didn't get that part. I get the part with the plans and how the people incorporate the disabled.
Okay.
But just make sure you could settle yourself, you could come through clear.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this better.
Okay, so my question to the gentleman from England. I listen to you speak about the 3-year plan that you all have. And again, you teach it that you understand. I always consider England for the fully accessible in the world for the single person. So now I hear that there will be more to cares for the blind. To drive, let it listen and it will drive. If there's cars in the 3-year plan, and also the electrical vehicles, which is which the whole world is looking at, where the blind cannot hear, then on the deaf. The vibration from the vehicle. That is my question to the English gentleman. And my question to the gentleman. I hope you all understand because it's getting important. My question to the ladies and gentlemen, this is cheating, is the motorcycle fellows who drive on the back wheel, which is very worrying to me because I like to prevent disability because it's not to prevent. So then I see the fellows on the motorcycle. My other question is, my other question, I would like to see where there is a bicycle that we can ride freely and can ride freely. And my last question, I agree with the gentleman from England saying that I think that it should be teaching schools. Because I see parents putting children in their lap and teach and letting them drive. So it's only teaching schools where children can tell their parents that it is wrong. That is all I have to say. I hope you understand. I have a good Sunday.
Thank you very much. You have a great Sunday as well, Rosalind. So shall I throw over to you, Mark, or you want some clarity in terms of the questions? Got three questions to you. One to the Barbadians. I know you're a Barbadian too. I just pulled your leg. And then a statement at the end. So the main thing she was asking in terms of the 3-year plan that you spoke about earlier, what are the type of things you include in there for the disabled? One of the things she mentioned with the electronic buses, like for instance, the blind, they're unable to see when they're coming, they can't hear them, or the deaf, they can't hear them. So that was a debate here in Barbados in terms of they should insert some kind of sound so that those who are hearing impaired can able to see or hear when they're coming, sorry. And then for the ones here in Barbados, they were talking about the motorcycles and those people riding at the back of the motorcycles and being safe for those. And they were agreeing with your points that we should have the education in the schools because they see some people actually putting the younger children on the lap and teaching them from young, and that there should be a more standardized training here in Barbados. So we're going to start with you, Mark, in terms of transport, traffic, and highways and the disabled. Let's start there.
Well, look, when you come from Barbados and you come to work in England, you better very, very quickly try and understand what the rules are. And the Disability Discrimination Act of 2004 places a mandate on all of us who design in the road environment to make sure that we are doing so lawfully. And if we don't, we pay a very, very heavy price for it. That said, okay, so anything that we're going to do in road safety and across the board, we always, always, always have to take into deep consideration what is this going to mean for disabled users of the road environment. Okay. I found this out to my peril very badly in Oxford many years ago, and many, many designers are still finding out about it. And I'll give you a recent example. We're grappling in the UK at the moment with an incident that happened just this month, actually. A guy walked off a railway platform in Southeast London with his guide dog, just walked off in front of a train. And when the rail accident investigation branch did their work, they recognized that there were no tactile markings. Now, we've got tactile markings at our crossings here in the UK. You will see this, these little blips on the road where you will feel something under your feet when you're standing at the edge of the road, so you know that you're at the edge of the road. But there were none at this particular station, so this guy just walked straight off. Now, that has happened in an environment where we've got the legislation, right? So the point I'm making is we always have to give deep consideration to our designs, but sometimes mistakes happen. And, you know, that brings a really heavy weight on you as a designer if you are at fault. And, you know, somebody was saying to me last week, we've got about 35% of railway stations in our region that don't have tactile markings. We now have to try and resolve that. But that is the point. The point is we have the legislation. It holds us to account, and we have to absolutely try and make sure we're doing our best to have as wide a discussion. Whenever we're doing consultations, we always have to go speak to the disabled just to understand the effects. You know, there were some guys in Oxford a few years ago who were removing curbs. There was a very trendy thing here in England not too long ago where we wanted to have very seamless roads. So we didn't want any curbs, and the disabled community were crying out, because when you're walking down a road and you're visually impaired and you've got your cane, you're feeling for the edge. But if there is no edge, you can stray into the road, right? So we have made, even though we have legislation and we consult heavily with the disabled, we have made some horrible mistakes in some places over the years. But for our plan, yes, anything we're going to do in design, it will be scrutinized. And it always is scrutinized to make sure that we are doing all that we can to make sure that it is inclusive, and those who are visually impaired or suffering other or have other disabilities can still go about their everyday business fully utilizing the road environment.
I want to underscore the difference between there and other jurisdictions, because sometimes around this place it seems as though we say, look at we include the disabled, we're doing you all a favor. Whereas in your jurisdiction, you're saying, listen, heavy penalties it is, if you don't.
It is the law.
It's the law of the land.
It is the law, exactly. You have to design for everyone. All right. So, and you
pay heavy. Opportunity to ask you though about the electronic buses and the lack of sound and
emergent area. Yes. Emergent area for all of us. We are dealing with electric vehicles in the world environment, and we're dealing with, you know, what we're planning for in terms of connected and autonomous vehicles further down the line. But this issue of how do you have awareness, you know, a car traveling on the road with a horn or with tires making a noise or with the engine making a noise is very, very subtle, but it plays a part in how people behave in the road space. So when you take some of that away, it becomes an issue. So, you know, some manufacturers are now including some kind of whistling type devices so that as that vehicle is approaching, people can hear. But it's an emerging area, and as electric vehicles are starting to become more prominent on our streets, people are starting to recognize what are some of the issues that need to be addressed, and then you will see them starting to be improving future models. So emerging area, but being recognized.
I'll go back to the telephone lines. Let's make this section of the program a little more snappy. Good afternoon and welcome, Brastack. Sunday, you're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Corey. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. And you?
I'm fine. And you to your guest too. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I was listening to the debate there. We'll go back to the traffic merging onto the highway, going into the fast food places. I think that you have what I think it is drive-through overload. Right? That's why I refer it to a drive-through overload. If those establishments know that they can only hold 12 vehicles in the drive-through, I think the onus is on them to have somebody who put that access amount going to the drive-through to their parking area, and when it's possible for them to join the line, direct them to join the line. That will solve some of the problems of obstruction on the highway, because as far as I know, obstruction is still on the statute books in the Road Traffic Act. So I don't think I need to go any further on that. My other concern with somebody on WhatsApp alluded to it earlier, is going from the Warren's Polyclinic towards the Darcy Scott roundabout. As Mr. Jordan has suggested, where you should know or be aware things on your left and things on your right. When you're going towards the Darcy Scott roundabout, coming from the Warren's Polyclinic, you cannot see the pedestrian that is waiting to cross from over that side by the hardware. You cannot see until they get actually on the crossing to on your side. and it's a dangerous practice. That bush or the hedgerow that somebody plant there is dangerous. If you're driving a small car, you can't see. If you're driving a truck, then you can see over it. But it's gotten over hand. It needs to be cut down. If you're in a mini or something, you cannot see the people crossing there, and vice versa, coming from the Darcy Scott roundabout, going towards the polyclinic, going on the other side now. People coming from the bank there now, you can't see them till they're onto the crossing. Then you have to break sudden, and there you go. It's problems. That stretch where that island there, that should be growing. I'm not saying to remove it. I'm saying it should be cut at a level where the driver can see what is on that side of the road, so that he can do.
Why not remove it? Why not remove it? We ended up maintaining.
That too, I mean, because the west road there is taller. Is taller than truck. I guess the truck man is having the same problem as the car.
It's not a necessity. You see, a number of people message about that same junction, right? It was only, I read one, but there's more than one. And there's a problem in the country, right? We talk road safety. We talk, you know, people talk, you talk short, we talk, and then what? Labba, 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 labba. Lot of long talk. If a number of people can look and see, look, this is dangerous. Have it removed. Remove it tomorrow. If we can trim it and maintain it, fine. If not, remove it. One less Corey, problem to worry about.
Corey, that was brought to my gully sergeant. Right, and he made the necessary inquiry, and he's still waiting for it to be trimmed or removed. Nobody is taking this thing serious.